It is always great on Thursdays to welcome our friend Howard Levitt to the show. He is Canada's top employment lawyer, host of Employment Law Sundays at 1 on News Talk 1010, and he joins Jerry Agar every morning at 10 on the Jerry Agar Show. Howard Levitt, welcome back to the show.
Barb Giglio, thank you again for having me.
I was reading today about your favorite, one of your favorite restaurants, Allo, and what great business they're doing with just, they said they never imagined being such a big takeout place, but they're, you know, doing so much business right now.
Well, people are getting in who could never otherwise get in. That's the reality. It used to be a very, very long wait if you're able to get in at all.
Right. So now I guess you can just call and get their takeout.
Well, I think even then there's a waiting list.
Is that right?
It's a little easier than before, but it's not a certainty by any stretch.
Isn't that something?
And it's half the price it used to be, although, look, you're not in the restaurant. It's a little bit different ambience, but the food's superb.
How are you doing these days?
Never better. It's really, I mean, I'm doing great. I'm lucky. Lawyers are an essential industry, so I stayed open the whole time. I never left work for a day, and we're busier than ever.
I mean, that's great. And I was talking earlier about, you know, the conversation has been so much around CERB, and we were talking about something off the top of the show. Now, this is not a new idea. We have been mentioning it for weeks that it started talks south of the border around this. But right now, Andrew Scheer is pitching a revision to CERB as a way to incentivize Canadians to return to work or look for a job. In other words, reward people financially for going back to work instead of for staying home.
You mean give them extra pay, paid by the government for doing their job?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
But
it's a short-term thing. The U.S. is looking at it also. Manitoba is, I think they've already implemented, they're going to pay people $2,000 to get off COVID-19 benefits and go back to work.
And that way they'll be resentful when they don't get the $2,000 anymore. I don't like it at all. Look, there's incentive enough. If you say to an employee, as employers can, you come back to work or you're going to be fired for cause and you won't get CERB and you won't get EI, that's pretty powerful incentive to get off CERB. Employers aren't doing it, but they could be doing it. And that's all the incentive they need.
I mean, I've heard you say that, and it's interesting. I don't know why employers, do you think maybe employers just don't realize that they can do that? Because it seems like whenever we hear from employers, or quite often, they sound like they're at the mercy of their employees.
They think they are, and they're not. They think that safety is everything, so if an employee waves a safety card, the employer has to collapse. I think that's changing a little bit, and it's not the case. If the workplace is reasonably safe, employees have to work. And look, there are exceptions. If they have child care needs and only they can fulfill that child care needs, and the employer can't arrange daycare for them. I think we had last show, somebody suggested, why don't we have my 16-year-old daughter of one of my employees look after the 6-year-old daughter of another employee, which of course would work perfectly.
Right.
And you can arrange something like that, and the employee no longer has an excuse, assuming it's an excuse in the first place. A lot of employees, of course, do want to work. They don't want to be at home looking after the kids. They're right to be working. And the employee pays the child care, not the employer. So there are ways around that issue, too. And, of course, if there are safety issues, then the employee has an excuse. But, you know, when it's got to the level of the inspector, about 1% of employee challenges to workplace safety have been successful in Ontario so far. It's just a handful of cases because normally the employer gets it right first, before it gets to that point, because employers have to get it right. Otherwise, they could have a massive multi-million-dollar lawsuit for negligence if they don't get it right, if somebody gets COVID and dies because the employer was careless.
Howard Levitt is here, and if you have an employment question, give us a call, 416-872-1010. You can text us at 71010. Your reaction to that incentivizing people to go back to work by giving them money to go to work instead of giving them money to stay home reminded me of something we discussed last night with employees, and not everybody, but some employees of, say, grocery chains complaining because that $2 bonus has come to an end. And I was saying, you know, in a way, companies can't win because the companies that didn't give any bonus to their employees, nobody's talking about, but everybody's talking trash about the companies that gave a $2 bonus, but everybody thinks it should have gone on for longer than it did.
That's just one of the points I made 3 minutes ago.
Yeah.
When we first raised it to spontaneously. Well, once you do that, then when you end it, they're going to be upset. You're going to demotivate them. And employees should not have to get more money than their salary to be motivated to go to work. That's the bargain they made. It just strikes me as wrong, both ethically and in terms of its ultimate practical impact. It's going to have exactly that impact at the end. Employees are going to expect that and think that they're being disadvantaged when it's over. Or they're just going to start living the lifestyle of that extra subsidy, and then it'll over cataclysmically, and they say, well, gee, I can't afford to live anymore because I've started spending more and got used to that for the period this subsidy goes on for.
416-872-1010. Howard Levitt is here. Ramos is on the line. Hi, Ramos. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. How are you?
Great, thank you.
Great, Ramos.
Thank you so much for your time. My wife is pregnant. She was she started a new job. We had back-to-back babies. Yay me. And she came off mat leave early to accept a position with a new company. And she started working there. She worked there for about 2 months. The COVID situation happened. She was laid off temporarily due to COVID. That's what the letter was. About a few weeks ago, she received she received an email from her employer telling her, hey, we know that you're going to be going on mat leave soon. It's going to be very difficult for us to find somebody to replace you on a short-term basis just because of the way the market works in this industry. It's in transportation. We want you to take a permanent layoff and we'll give you 2 weeks pay.
Well, she's really in very good position because, first of all, she's been fired and therefore is entitled to wrongful dismissal damages. I can assure you everybody's case is worth more than 2 weeks, but they've said in writing that she's going on mat leave. So it's a direct violation of the Employment Standards Act and the Human Rights Code. So her case is turbocharged in terms of what she'd recover.
Okay.
So you got to get in touch with Howard.
You know what? We will.
That's a gift. That's a gift.
Okay.
A lot of employers might think that way and do it. They won't say it. That's just such stupidity. She's got to capitalize on it. And I can promise you that employer will never make that mistake again. They may do it, but they won't say it again.
Interesting. That's a huge relief. Thank you so much.
Ramos, you can reach out to Howard at Levitt LLP, and it's interesting. Those cases don't come along all the time because I've heard you say once or twice. You know, it's like a jackpot, or because companies just do things so wrong in some cases.
And it's amazing that this employer must have been living under a rock forever to not understand that you can't tell somebody you're letting them go because they're pregnant and because they're going to have a mat leave coming up. It doesn't get better than that.
Oh, wow. All right. Great to have our friend Howard Levitt here, Levitt LLP. Howard is only Canada's top employment lawyer, and he's generous with his time and visits us every Thursday evening at 8:30. He hosts Employment Law Sundays at 1, and he has been on with Jerry Agar every day at 10 a.m. I'll get back to the phones, Howard.
You bet, and I'm delighted to be here with you.
Thank you so much. 416-872-1010. Bob is next. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, thank you. Go ahead with Howard.
Okay, Howard, I'm wondering, I'm 74 years old. I'm a commissioned sales agent. I'm drawing Canada pension. And I'm wondering, my company is a Quebec-based company that I'm an agent for. They've been shut down since March. And I'm just wondering, am I entitled to CERB benefits?
Well, you are if your income is less than $1,000 every 4 weeks, and if you made $5,000 in the last 12 months or 2019. If you meet those qualifications, you are absolutely entitled to it. The fact you're a dependent sales agent does not detract from that entitlement.
Okay. How about the fact that I'm drawing on my old age pension?
Irrelevant.
My Canada pension.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't?
Nor if you were receiving an actual pension, it would not matter.
Okay.
It's not active income.
All right. The second part of my question is my wife is, we're income splitting. She is acting as my office manager. Is she entitled as well?
Now, that's a tougher question because income splitting is often illegal to begin with, and I'm not sure you want to draw attention to it, because is she really working as much as it takes to justify the income that you're paying her? And also you're able to jimmy her remuneration by how much you decide to pay her from your income. So I'd have to dig deeper into the specific facts to answer that question. She might be, but there's a good chance she would not be.
Okay. Well, I don't want to go overboard with this. So I think that better than that.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
No, I'll just go ahead and apply on my own.
You probably don't want to attract Revenue Canada's attention to your wife's situation.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your help.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Bob. Revenue Canada is going to be very busy over the next couple of years trying to sort out all of who was qualified and who was not. Are
well,
they
I hope
not?
So, Barb. I hope they are.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to get back some of our tax dollars that's illegitimately stolen by lots of people right now.
And look, you say that. Look, we say that acknowledging there are people who needed it and who got it.
Oh, there's, sure. But there's 2 million that don't and have it. You know, over 40% of the Canadian workforce has received at least one SURE benefit.
Come on.
No, that's a fact. Over 40% of the Canadian workforce. And we know, and on top of that, there's other people who are getting wage subsidy. So
right.
Not even everybody who's getting a government benefit is on SURE, but 40% of the workforce is getting SURE or has received at least one SURE benefit. And we know that apart from those who are receiving the wage subsidy from their employers, 40% of the economy is not receiving income.
Right.
Not unemployed, not having their income reduced on under $1,000 every 4 weeks. We just know that is not the case because lots of employers are continuing to operate. Lots of other employers are paying full salary anyway, or paying 75% salary, or paying more than $1,000 every 4 weeks. So a lot of people have just been making fraudulent claims. Those are the facts.
When you mentioned about people always being upset if a bonus ends, you know, do you think it's a bad idea for companies to give bonuses like that?
Well, a bonus to get people to do their normal job, not a bonus for high achievement, not a bonus. But yes, I think it's a bad idea for a company to give a bonus to do what you're supposed to do anyway.
Right.
Because then when you're not getting the bonus for what you're supposed to do anyway, you're going to be a bit resentful and think you're underpaid and think the employer could afford on this occasion, they could afford on the next occasion. And if it's coming from the government, they're still going to say, well, I was making 20% more than I'm, or whatever, probably more than that, more than I'm normally making, and I begrudge being paid less now, especially if it goes on for any period of time.
Let me read you a text question, and I think this person really needs your answer, okay? And if you want to talk to Howard, 416-872-1010. Three of my employees, one after another, tell me they only want to work 12 to 15 hours a week. They are all part-time. We are an essential service and never closed. When it was really slow, hours went down to about 12 hours. Before COVID, they had about 20 hours a week. I'm told it's because they're collecting CERB. Is this true? Does it matter how many hours they work in this case? I need them to work. They did not tell me they were on CERB. Somebody told me that's why they want reduced hours.
Well, the answer, of course, as I think you know, Barb, by now, is that they have an obligation to do the work they're assigned, which is similar to the work they were doing before COVID-19. And of course, they're asking for less hours because they want to collect CERB. They want to keep under $1,000 every 4 weeks. Why else would they be asking for reduced hours, especially if they've been working for 20 hours a week all along? So the employer should say to them, I need you. If you don't come back, I'm going to fire you. And if I fire you, you're not going to get CERB, you're not going to get EI, and you're not going to have a job. And then I think they're all going to come back 20 hours a week. The employer has to be, it sounds hard-headed, but it's also hard-headed to not give your employer the hours you've agreed to over many years, and the suddenly start depriving your employer of your work. And if an employee is doing that, it's fair game, in my view, for the employer to say, I'm not going to permit that nonsense. You're going to keep working as before. And if you don't, I'm going to fire you for abandonment.
416-872-1010. Shireen is on the line. Hi, Shireen. Go ahead with Howard.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Levitt, and thank you, Bob, for taking my call. I'm a senior over 70 years old, and I heard bits and pieces that the federal government is giving everybody a certain amount of money effective July 1st. My question to you is this correct information? And may I know how much each person is going to get it? How are they going to get paid? So either by check or how would each person get the money? And I'm sure this has to be a taxable item.
I wish I could answer all of those questions, but I can't because I don't know the answer. I know that you are correct, that there are two different benefits giving to people who are receiving Canada pension. And I think it's checks are being distributed, and whether it's taxable or not, I don't know. I suspect it is, but I don't know with certainty because there's been very little information giving out on it. Now, one is given out to everybody, 65 and over, and the rest is given to, the other check is given to people who are 65 and over and also have financial need, a certain financial need test in terms of their income tax returns. So that's all I know. So you are going to get at least one, if not two, different checks.
Shireen, thank you so much for the call. 416-872-1010. Howard, let me ask you this, and I don't know exactly how to put it. When it comes to this entire situation, can you give me one main thing employers should be mindful of and one thing employees should be mindful of when looking at returning to work?
When returning to work, employers should be mindful of safety and making sure it is a safe workplace so you don't get sued for negligence. And you should be mindful as an employer of your right to require your employees to return to work. And I think as well, you should not indulge in the kinds of games that employers are going to ask you to. Like we had two callers ago where you're essentially cheating the government. That's not going to look good on you. Employees should be mindful of not scamming the system because they could well get caught now. The government says it's going to try and catch cheaters. And if you're ordered to return to work and you don't have a child or elder at home that you personally have to look after because no one else can, and you can't prove it's unsafe, you'd better return to work or you could lose your job and you won't get CERB and you won't get EI if that happens. Those are the two fundamental rules for both sides on the return to work issue.
Mike is on the line. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you.
Go ahead with Howard Levitt.
Yeah, hi, Howard. Thanks for running this period, and it's really important that people get correct information. So my question is regarding the eligibilities for CERB.
Mm-hmm.
Is the 1,000 income, that's the gross income allowed, right?
Gross income, not net income.
Okay. And my second question relates to if a pay period lines up before or after the CERB eligibility day, how is that counted?
I understand there are specified four-week periods, and within those four-week periods, you can't earn more than $1,000. And if you do, you don't get CERB. If you don't, so do you qualify. Otherwise, you do get CERB. It's got nothing to do with what the employer pay period used to be.
Okay, so if my payday falls on a Saturday or Sunday, and the CERB period ends before that, what week is that income counted towards?
It is the period of time in which you earned the income. The payment is not relevant. So if you're paid in arrears, it doesn't really matter. Did you earn income on that day? That's the test. Not when you happen to get a check.
All right.
Okay, I understand.
Okay, Mike, thanks a lot for the call. Let me see if I can fit another one or two in. I've got a couple of great questions on the text board. I think we have time for one more. I have been employed throughout COVID. I also own a separate business, registered and pay HST to the government every quarter. Income from that last year was $42,000. I have been shut since mid-March and will not be able to open until phase three. Can I collect CERB for that business as I'm losing $4,000 a month of gross income?
No, because you have another job.
I knew the answer to that one.
Yeah. You can't earn more than $1,000 from all sources in terms of active employment or business income. in the 4-week period. If you do, it doesn't matter if you've lost $100,000 from one job and have gone to zero. If you're still making $1,001 in the other job, but you're not getting served.
Wow. All right. It's always great to have you on, Howard Levitt. Thanks so much for this. We do appreciate it.
Barb Judo, thank you for having me.
Talk to you next week.
Good. Looking forward to it.
Howard Levitt, Levitt LLP.